missed you last week. I know Pastor Larry did a great job. I've heard very good things about Pastor Larry. I was in Summerfield in Asbury last week, but it felt weird not to be in this pulpit. It felt weird not to worship with you. And so I missed you quite a lot.
We missed you too.
I appreciate that. You don't have to say that. It's okay though. So it is the end of finals week at Drew. Amen. Hallelujah. I was talking to Kathy, and because Kathy also goes to Liberty University online, and we were comparing finals and papers. I think I've written close to 65, 66 pages of text in all of my finals. Oh. There have been exams, there have been papers, there's been more papers, there's another paper. Tomorrow is when everything is due, whether I'm done or not, and I have one more assignment due. So instead of my traditional pastor nap on Sunday afternoons, I'm pushing through and trying to get everything done. So I ask for your prayers, and mostly prayers for my professors, because I started off strong, but toward the end there, my writing just got pathetic. And I am burned out, and I can tell that I'm burned out. But thankfully, after Mother's Day, I'm going camping, which will be great. And then I'm going to visit some friends and family. So I'm getting some time to refresh afterwards. This week, I was doing work, and one of my friends was working on her final with me. And then suddenly, she yells out, "Oh no, I've lost half of my paper." So I spring up, I grab her laptop, I go through the previous versions, I figure out where the file is saved and recover all the text. She had lost about 6 pages worth of writing pretty much at the end, and that was problematic. So I show her, she has everything back, everything got fixed. And then after that, I start looking up on Google to try to figure out what had happened. Why her computer did that, and why was I able to save files so long? I've been out of the business for about a year now, and suddenly everything's changing. And I very quickly got back into my old IT ways and was probably Googling for about 45 minutes before I realized I had to go back and do my papers and work on my sermon and do pastor things and not be an IT professional again. And so I was thinking about that and realized how easy it is to go back into old habits. A friend of mine is a recovering alcoholic, and I was talking to him. He lives back in Long Island. And we were talking about how easy it is to fall off that wagon, how easy it can be to fall back into old habits, and how disastrous and how problematic that can become. And that's why for him, he keeps going back to AA. Because falling back into those habits are so problematic. Not as bad as falling back into your IT nerdy habits, but that's what I got this morning. And so this scripture this morning, I'm realizing that's what the disciples did. They fell back into their old habits. They had gone through this momentous journey. It started in the beginning of John, in the beginning of the gospel, with Jesus calling them from their boats. They walk with Jesus, they talk with Jesus, they learn with Jesus. They serve with him. He sends them out two by two, and they're given authority to heal the sick, to cast demons out of bodies, to raise people from the dead. They eat with him on the night he is killed. They watch him be killed. They know that he has risen from the dead. They've seen all of these miracles. And in these short 3 years, when all is said and done, Peter wakes up and says, "Let's go fishing." And it's not fishing like some kind of leisurely activity. This isn't like when you go to a campsite and you fish for the afternoon. They went with nets. They went out into the middle of the sea. They were going back to work. They were going back to their lives before Jesus was there. They were going back in a way that made sense to them. Their journey had finished. And so they went back to the boats. Peter says, "Let's go fishing." And the other disciples say, "Yeah, okay. That makes sense for this morning." And this group of disciples I found very interesting this week, You have Thomas the twin, Nathaniel of Cana, the sons of Zebedee and Peter, and then a couple of other disciples who aren't listed. If we remember, Thomas the twin is who we talked about last week. He's doubting Thomas, the one who didn't believe that Jesus was resurrected until he could put his finger into the wounds of Jesus. Nathanael of Cana is one of my favorite disciples. He's the one who heard that the Messiah was coming from Nazareth, and said, "Can anything good come from Nazareth? Really? That's where he's coming from? Can anything good come from Montana?" The sons of Zebedee, James and John, these are the ones who are constantly getting yelled at by Jesus. They want to rain down fire on a Samaritan village, and he rebukes them. They trouble Jesus and ask him, "Can we sit on either side of you in heaven?" And Jesus says, "What are you thinking about?" And then finally, there's Peter. He doesn't betray Jesus, but he betrays his trust. At the dinner, at the Last Supper, he says that he would go with Jesus to prison, even to death. And then hours later, denies Jesus sitting around a fire, very similar to the one Jesus makes on this beach this morning. And so they live through so much. In our Bible study, we've been talking about the books of the Gospels and how we're only getting the highlights. We're getting a 3-year mission that's being contained within 20 to 24 chapters of Gospel. What are the stories that we don't hear? What are the miracles that Jesus performs that we don't know about? What are the teachings that Jesus teaches them? Because sometimes the Gospel writers say, "And then Jesus taught the disciples." And then we just move on. These men, and there were women, but this morning all we know are the men, walk with Jesus for 3 years, see that he dies. He comes back in a locked room to be among them. And then today they decide to go back to work. They go back to work like it's a Monday morning after you go on vacation, like it's a week that you had where you went away, and Monday morning you just go back to work because this is what I'm supposed to do. You go back to researching IT things because that's what you're supposed to do. You go back to writing your paper because that's what you're supposed to do. You fall off the wagon and drink like my friend did because that's what you're supposed to do. And so Jesus stands there on the beach. He calls out to them and say, "You didn't catch anything last night, did you?" Because nighttime is when you catch all the fish in the Sea of Tiberias, according to when I Googled it. Because I don't know anything about fishing. But nighttime is when you catch all the fish. You throw your net down and the fish are up higher because it's cooler at night and they're eating. And that's when you can catch all the fish. And scripture says they went all night back at work for their first day back on the job and they caught nothing. And so Jesus calls them from the seashore and says, "You didn't catch anything, did you? Throw your net to the other side of the boat and you'll catch your fish." And it says there were so many fish that they couldn't lift the net back up into the boat. And so John tells Peter, "I think that's the Lord on the shore." And Peter jumps into the water and swims back to Jesus. And the other disciples just boat back. They sail back to the shore. And sitting there on the beach is Jesus having a fire, a couple of fish, some bread. And he says, "Give me some of the fish you caught. We're having breakfast this morning. Come and eat." And so the disciples sit and they eat. And scripture tells us they sit there in silence. And I don't blame them. What are you going to do, Jesus? He's healed people. He's healed himself. He's come back from dead. He's come back from the dead. Told them that all authority under earth and heaven has been given to him. And he's just coming and making breakfast for a couple of guys. What's he gonna do? And the truth is, in the scripture this morning, there was no miracle. It was something pretty simple. They sat down to have breakfast. And if we look ahead, and I think we'll be reading about this next week, we see that Jesus asks John if he still loves him, or excuse me, Peter, if he still loves him, and asks Peter to start his church for him. But there wasn't a miracle coming. There wasn't some life-changing event that is going to snap the disciples back into their lives. There are some times that life is just pretty ordinary. We talked about this in Bible study this week. The Bible is full of people who are being martyred for their faith. How great it is to be a martyr. How great it is to die for your religion. And someone asked me if we should strive for that. Should we hope to be martyred for our faith? And the truth is no. We live in America. We shouldn't be expecting to be martyred. We should be ready to. I'm not discounting that. But we should not be expecting to. We should not be ready for it and waiting and hoping that it happens. The truth is, in our lives, we can find favor with the Lord just by living our lives. We don't have to do something monumentous for us to get back to work. Like the disciples this morning, there is a chance for us just to go back to work on Monday morning. To go back to the daily grind, but changed. Because 2 weeks ago, and this sermon made better sense last week when I wasn't here, because 2 weeks ago, Jesus came out of that tomb. The story could have ended on the cross. The story could have ended on Good Friday. Our sins have been forgiven. Now go in peace. But Jesus comes back because our work is not done. He comes back because we still have a job to do. Our cup has been fixed, but we still have a job to do this morning. And the disciples knew that, but they just decided to go fishing. The truth is, this morning, the risen Christ is with us. When we take communion in a couple of minutes, we're kind of remembering this beachside breakfast. There are times where this is a solemn event. There are times when we remember the night in which Jesus dies. And there are times where we celebrate that he is alive. And this Sunday is one of those Sundays. The disciples go back to work on Monday morning. Peter hears that Jesus is there on the beach for them. And he jumps out of the boat to go see him. We can go back to work on Monday morning. We can fall back into our old habits, the good ones. Because the truth is, we have been changed. The truth is, we are not the same as we were before Good Friday. We are not the same as we were before Easter. We have changed. The God who came back from death lives within us. Our cup has been fixed. We have been changed. And so Monday morning, when Peter says to us, let's go back to work, okay. But what does it look like to go back to work changed? What does it look to go back to your life changed? What does it look to leave these church doors on Sunday morning changed? Do we expect to be changed when we come in here? Or do we expect to be placated and leave just the same? I get it, Tierney. I get it. The truth is, Jesus is waiting for us on the shore. He made breakfast for us. We're about to eat communion, which in the early days of the church would have meant fish and bread. not wine and bread, or juice and bread. He's waiting on the seashore for us. Our lives have changed. He's just reminding us of that. Reminding us that this morning, we don't have to fall back into our old ways. Or at least, not where we were last week. Amen?
Amen.